Oshlema.
Amen. We're on the last word of the narrow lines. Maisa b'Rabbi Yehuda Shara'a Keri. Rabbi Yehuda himself became a Tomei Keri. V'hoya mahalich al gav hanohar. And he was walking by the side of the river. Omrulei Talmidov. So his Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, Shana lanu perek echod behilchas derech eretz. Can you please teach us a halacha in hilchas derech eretz? As we know, Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned yesterday, says that even whilst in a state of keri, but you're allowed to learn hilchas derech eretz. So could you please teach us some hilchas derech eretz? So yorad v'toval. So he descended, they're walking by the river, he descended towards the river, and he dipped in the river, v'shana lohem. And then he taught them the halachas of derech eretz. Amru loy. They said to him, one moment, loy kach limadatenu rabbeinu. Didn't our Rebbe teach us, meaning didn't you yourself teach us, that shaynehu behilchas derech eretz, that you're allowed, even in a state of keri, you're allowed to learn the halachas of derech eretz. So why did you first go and dip in the mikveh, in the river? You don't have to. You yourself hold that you don't have to. Omar lohem, so he said to them, afal pi shemekel ani al acherim, even though it's true, I'm lenient for other people, clearly I hold that is the ikah hadin, but nonetheless, machmir al atzmi, but I'm still machmir for myself. So if you ask me, what do I hold is the ikah hadin? The ikah hadin is clearly that it is muta. If it was not, then I could not paskum that for the rabbin. That is mi ikah hadin. For myself, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm machmir. And therefore, even for hilchos derech eretz, I was careful first to go and dip in the river. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. This is not necessarily Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Hoya oime ein divrei toiro mekablin tuma. So literally translated, it means Torah cannot be makabel tuma. Now, what does that mean? It can't be makabel tuma. I.e., that even somebody who is in a state of tuma is allowed to learn Torah. That's what he was explaining. So Torah is not makabel tuma, meaning even if you're tuma, you are still allowed to learn Torah.
A sefer Torah can't be makabel tuma, can it?
Correct.
Okay.
Ein divrei Torah makabelin tuma. It can be makabel some tumas, I believe. There's a whole discussion about Sifrei Kodesh, Mishnais in Yodayim, I believe. So, Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. So, based on that, we now have the following. Maisa B'Talmid Echod. There was a story with a Talmid, Shehoya Megamgeim L'malo Mirab Yudah Ben Beseira. What does that mean, he was Megamgeim? If you look at the very top Rashi, Rashi over here is on the left-hand side, Megamgeim v'koyre, Bal Keri Hoya. He was a Bal Keri. Now, Megamgeim literally means to stammer, to stutter. It means he was reluctant to say Torah whilst in a state of Keri, which is a little bit strange, or very strange, because if he's a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira has just now told us that you are allowed to say Divrei Torah in a state of Tumah. So if that's what the Rebbe holds, why is the Talmud now being Megamgim? Why is he stammering? Why is he reluctant to say Divrei Torah? Says the Gemara, Maisa b'Talmud Echad, Shehoya Megamgim, Lamalo Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Omar Alei, so the Rebbe told him in no uncertain terms, Bani, Psach, Picha, open your mouth properly. Say divrei Torah. You don't need to hint it or say it reluctantly. V'yoiru dvarecho, and your words should be illuminated. Why? She'ein divrei Torah mekablim tumah. Because this is my position, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, that Torah cannot be mekabel tumah. He learns it very beautifully from a pasuk shenema, the famous pasuk that says haloi koi dvari ke'esh nu'um Hashem, where the Navi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my words, meaning divrei Torah, are like esh. Ma esh eilu mekabel tumah, fire can never become tomei. So too have divrei Torah also eilu mekablim tumah. So if that's the case, you've got nothing to worry about, even though you're in a state of tumah, but there's no problem, you can definitely say Torah. Now, you'll remember yesterday we saw various opinions in the Gemara. What exactly is it that a Baal Keri is allowed to learn? Some opinions said he can learn Mishnayos and not Gemara, etc., etc. Some say he can learn Gemara, not say the Psukim. So the Gemara is revisiting that. Says the Gemara, Amamar. One of the opinions was Matzia Esa Mishnah, but Ve'ene Matzia Esa Gemara. He's allowed to learn Mishnayos, but he is not, however, allowed to learn Gemara. That, says the Gemara, Messiah lay, that would be a support for the position of the Rebbe Elioi. Why? Da'amar Rebbe Elioi, Omar Abchachar Bayakov, Mishum Rabbeinu, Halocha, Matzia es HaMishnah, Ve'enoi Matzia es HaGemara. So Elioi seems quite clearly to hold of exactly that, that the Baal Keri is allowed to learn Mishnayos. He is not, however, allowed to learn Gemara. Says the Gemara, it seems to be that actually that's a machloikas tanoim. Ketanoi. Seems to be a machloikas tanoim. Why? Because it says as follows, Matzia es ha-mishnah ve'enoi matzia es ha-gemara divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir seems to hold of exactly what we've been saying until now, which is also Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi's position. The Baal Keri is allowed to learn the Mishnah. He's not, however, allowed to learn the Gemara. That's opinion number one, Divrei Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Zeh v'zeh Asur. That there is no distinction between the Mishnah and the Gemara. They are both Asa. Va'omri lo, and some say that the version is the opposite way around. Zeh v'zeh muta. But either way, there's a machlokes. One opinion says that there's a distinction between the Mishnah and the Gemara. A Baal Keri is allowed to say a Mishnah, he's not allowed to say a Gemara. And the other opinion says there is no distinction. Either they're both Asa or they're both muta. And the Gemara explains. Man da'omar zeh v'zeh asur, the opinion who had the version that says they are both asur, both to learn Mishnahis and Gemara, that is k'reb Yechanan Hasandla, and man da'omar zeh v'zeh muta k'reb Yehuda ben Beseira. Why is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? That's the opinion we just saw two lines ago. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says Torah is not makabel tumah. Even if you are a Baal Keri, you may learn Torah, whether it's Mishnayos or Gemara. There's absolutely no distinction. Everything is muta. So the bottom line is, it seems to be, we have various opinions. Basically, every single combination is available. Either Mishnah and Gemara are asa, or Mishnah and Gemara are muta, or we make a distinction between Mishnah and Gemara. So basically, there are multiple opinions on this subject. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Nohug Alma, the minhag of the Olam. We've said so many opinions so far, we now need to try and close in what is the halacha lemaisa, or at least what is the minhag ha'olam. Says the Gemara, Nohug Alma Kahani Tlas Sabi. Sabi literally means, from the word Saba, grandfather, means these three elders. There are three Tanoim who issued opinions on three unrelated subjects, and the Minag HaOlam follows their particular position. Who are these three Sabi, the three elders? Kerebi Eloi, with regard to Rashi's Hagez, Kerebi Ashio Bekilayim, and Kerebi Yehuda ben Beseira Bedivrei Torah. So let's go slowly. Kerebi Eloi Bereshis Hagez. What is Rashi's Hagez? As we know, if you have a sheep and you shear off the wool, the first part of it has to be given to the Kohen. So what's the discussion? Rabbi Eloi has a chidush, a kula, a big leniency. Rabbi Eloi bereshis hagez, the minhag seems to be like Rabbi Eloi with regard to reshis hagez, the Tanya, because we have a braisa that says Rabbi Eloi oime, reshis hagez, einoi noheg elo ba'aretz. As we know, we have several mitzvahs which are only practiced in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Loi was mechadesh, a tremendous kula, that so too, Reishis Hagez, this first shearing of the sheep that goes to the Kohen, is only practiced in Eretz Yisrael, which is a very big leniency, which means that in Chutz La'aretz, there is no halach of Reishis Hagez, and the Gemara says the Minhag HaOlam is to adopt this leniency of Rabbi Loi. That's number one. There's another Minhag HaOlam, and that is Kerebi Yashio B'Kilayim. With regard to Kilayim, which we know is grafting, planting and growing together, so we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yashio. Now, what did Rabbi Yashio say? The Torah says, Loi Sizra Karmcha Kilayim. Literally translated, don't plant your vineyard as Kilayim. Now, there is a discussion. How exactly does one transgress the Issa of Kilayim? Is it with Zra'im? Zra'im means seeds, which means you could literally take the seeds of barley and the seeds of wheat together. And if you plant those together, that would give you kilayim. Others' opinion says, no, it's got to be a kerem. It's got to be a vineyard involved. Rabbi Yashio has a tremendous leniency, and he says, it's got to be both together. It's got to be seeds of wheat and barley, but also a vineyard, all together. Look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yashio, when it comes to kilayim, kedeksiv, karmacha lo sizra, karmacha kilayim, Rabbi Yashio oima, lo oilom einoi chayim. A person will never be chayim for having transgressed the mitzvah of kilayim, the issa of kilayim, ad, until such point, she yizra chitor, v'sa oira, v'charetzon, all three together, wheat, barley and grapes or grape kernels. B'mapoiles yad, in one handful. So you take in your hand all three of these species and you plant them together. Once you've done that, then you are considered to have been over kilayim. So once again, that is another leniency. Whereas other opinions say it's either or, Rabbi Yashio says it's both. And until you plant everything together, you will not have transgressed kilayim. And finally, says the Gemara, and that's why how Gemara is mentioning it, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira b'divrei Torah. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira oime, ein divrei Torah mekablim tumah. So it would seem to be, after all the various opinions, backwards and forwards, every single permutation was out there, but the bottom line seems to be the Minhag HaOlam is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, which is the Me'ikar Adin, somebody who is Tomei Tumas Keri, is not asa to learn Torah. He is allowed to learn Torah. Have a look at Rashi, right at the top. Kihanach Tlas Sabi, like these three elders, V'kulu L'kula. The common denominator between all three of them is they are all presenting a leniency. The first one was with regard to Reishis HaGeiz, that Eino Noeg Ela Ba'aretz, why should that be? Says Rashi, have a look, B'Shechitas Chulin, which is the Masechta of Chulin, Yalef Tama, the Gemara learns out the reasoning from Perek HaZaraya, obviously there's a learn from Psukim. That is leniency number one. Leniency number two is that Chita, the Sa'ira, the Charetz, and Shloshtam, it's got to be all three together, but my poiles yad to have a low, because that would be kilai zeroim, both a mix of seeds, and also the kilai hakerem, ka'achas, as in one. So the Gemara is now presenting for us three leniencies, totally unrelated. I'm not sure why they are even grouped together, but either way, the common denominator is that the minhag ha'olam is that we adopt the position of the Makel. With regard to Reishis HaGeiz, it is only Noyeg in Eretz Yisrael, Kula number one. Kilayim, it is only Noyeg if you plant seeds and a vineyard together, Big Kula, Kula number two. And Divrei Torah, Kula number three, somebody who's a Baal Keri, we say Torah is not Mekabel Tumah, and you are allowed to learn Torah in a state of Keri. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Zeiri. When Zeiri came along, he reported the following. Omar, he said, Batluha L'tvilusa. They were mevatl the tvila. Which tvila? Says Rashi, the Bale Kerion. They were mevatl the tvila of Bale Kerion, which would seem to be in line with what we said before. However, the Omri La, some have a different version of what Zeiri said. The Omri La, and some say, Botluha lenetilusa. Some say that Zeiri was not reporting that they were mevatel tevila, which is dipping in the mikveh. Rather, they were mevatel netila, washing one's hands. Now, what is that referring to? Says the Gemara, it depends. Man do amar botluha letvilusa. The opinion that says they were mevatel the tevila for a Baal Keri, that a Baal Keri does not need to go to the mikveh, that would clearly follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who we've now said a number of times, held that a Baal Keri is allowed to go and learn Divrei Torah, which means he has no necessity to go to the mikveh. That's according to that version. But man do omar botluha lenetilusa, if you say that Zeiri was reporting something else completely, not that they suspended tevila in the mikveh, but rather they suspended netilas yodayim, so then it's referring to something else, which is a Gemara that we once learned a long time ago. Ma'am da omar batkluha lenetilusa ki ha da Rav Chista. This is following Rav Chista, that's what we learned in Daf Tezvov. Layit. He used to be very upset, even offer a curse. Laman de Mahadir Amaya. Anybody who goes looking for water, be idon silusa at a time of davening. We had a whole Gemara that talks about washing your hands before davening, which, by the way, as we said then, halacha lemaisa, that is what you are supposed to do. There was an opinion, however, that says that no, Rav Chista, in no uncertain terms, held that you're not supposed to wash your hands for davening. So according to that, that's what Ze'iri was reporting. Not that they were mevatel tvila in a mikvah, but they were mevatel netila for davening. Why are they mevatel netila for davening? Because they are following the opinion of Rav Chisda, who says that you don't need to wash your hands for davening. And that really is the end of the sugya. Okay, let's make a start to the next Gemara, which I haven't really had a chance to look at yet, but let's learn it together. Tanu Rabbanon. Balkeri shenosnu olov tisha kabin mayim toher. A balkeri is Tommy. There is no discussion about that whatsoever. The only discussion we've been having is, does his tumah preclude him from learning Torah? But undoubtedly he's Tommy. And if he wants to become Tohir, then he has to purify himself. And the question is, how so? So we would traditionally understand that he's going to go into a kosher mikvah. A kosher mikvah, as always, is 40 sa'ah of mayim. Here the Gemara is telling us a tremendous chiddush, that tisha kabin, which is a far smaller amount, you just pour it over him, would be enough to be metahir him. And that's what it means. Bal keri shenosnu alav tisha kabin mayim. They poured over him 9 kav of mayim. Even if he did not immerse in the mikvah, he would still be tahir. By the way, this was one of the famous questions, and maybe still is to an extent, but certainly in the beginning of Corona. There are some people until today who are machmir for tumas keri. So after having relations with their wife, they would go into a mikvah the next morning, and the big question became, so what do you do when they close down the mikvahs basically a year ago exactly? Now, when a woman needs to table in the mikvah for having become a nidah, tisha kabin over there is not an option. So Baruch Hashem, they kept the women's mikvahs opened, just about. But the men's mikvahs were absolutely closed. So the big question became, can they rely on tisha kabin? And if so, how do you do so? Can you have tisha kabin just standing outside underneath a showerhead? And that was the big machlokes. Does tisha kabin have to come from a kli? And is a showerhead considered a kli? Does it have to come in all in one shot? And if it does, maybe standing under a shower is not considered to be one shot. Also, the showerhead has all the different holes in it, so it's not pouring out in one big amount, it's coming out as little jets of water. A big discussion. The commonly accepted opinion was that if you do stand under the shower, I think for 4 or 5 minutes consecutively, that would be considered tisha kabin. Either way, the Gemara is clearly telling us that a balkeri can become tahir through tisha kabin.
Back before Yomim Narayim, I asked Rav Kornfeld about that.
Yes.
And he said to me, you're potter. Just stand under the shower.
Right. This, by the way, is also a negea. We should not know this, but when someone passes away, so part of the tahara, the purification of the body before burial, is at least for men, if they're shema teira mitzvahs, they dip them in a mikvah. But women, they just do tisha kabin. They don't dip them in a full-blown mikvah. They do tisha kabin. So the halachas of tisha kabin certainly need to be known and are halacha lemaisa.
Is tisha kabin only a b'di'eved?
For a balkeri, the Gemara said it's okay. For a balkeri, it's fine.
For the rest of us? Not for a balkeri, just for Yom Naram, is it a
lechatzi? Yes, again, Yom Naroyim, where there's not an absolute chiyuv tevila. So for Rosh Hashanah, certainly not. For Yom Kippur, it's more complicated because Yom Kippur, many opinions hold, there really is an absolute chiyuv to table in the mikvah. So much so, there is the famous opinion in one of the Rishonim who says that men who tovel in the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur have to make a bracha, which would clearly mean that we would have to be makbid on all the halachas of chatzitza, which means we'd have to spend an hour and a half preparing for the mikvah, just like noshim do, an hour, whatever it is. Halacha l'maisa, as we well know, we do not paskan this halacha. We do not make a bracha on the tefillah on Erev Yom Kippur, and we are not makbid for all the halachas of chatzitza. Right? People go and they just dip in the mikvah, and that's that. So that's why the poskim were happy to be samech on Tisha B'av. But where a mikvah is needed medina, there's no way that Tisha B'av can be an alternative. Therefore, a woman who cannot find a kosher mikvah to tovel in, or a sea, or a river, is stuck. She cannot rely on Tisha B'av. I do know that somebody told me he went on the night before Yom Kippur. I think he went to Ashdod or Tel Aviv beach at 2 o'clock in the morning to dip in the sea. And he told me there were hundreds of people there, tabling in the sea, because the sea is a perfectly valid kosher mikvah. Therefore, people were relying on that. They might have closed down the mikvahs, but they didn't close down the sea. Okay, says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, Bal Keri, Shenosnu Alav Tisha Kabin Mayim. The Bal Keri, if they put over him Tisha Kabin of Mayim, he becomes Tahir. Now, a rather interesting Gemara over here. Nachum Ish Gamzu, the famous Nachum Ish Gamzu, Lochasha. He whispered this halacha. He didn't announce it, but he whispered it to Rabbi Akiva. V'Rabbi Akiva lochsha leben Azai. He then went and whispered it in turn to Ben Azai. U'Ben Azai yotza v'shono l'talmidov b'shuk. And Ben Azai, instead of whispering it quietly, he then went and announced it publicly in the shuk to his Talmidim. So there seems to be some discussion about this halacha. Some were only happy to whisper it, keep it quiet, and others were happy to announce it. So what's going on? Pligibo, excuse me. It says the Gemara, Pligi ba trei amoraim. So it was a machlaikas between two amoraim. What was the machlaikas? B'ma'arava. B'ma'arava always means in the west, which is Eretz Yisrael. Ma'arava is the west of Bavel. So it was a machlaikas between two amoraim in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael. Who are they? Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavida. So two Rabbi Yossis, a machlekes between two Rabbi Yossis. Chad Tani Shon'o, v'chad Tani Lochasha. One of them said, with regard to Ben Azai, we just had. The version of events that we just had was that Ben Azai, unlike the others, did not whisper it. He actually reviewed it in public. But there's a machlokes. Is that really true? If you look at Rashi, Chad Tani Ben Azai Lochasha LeTalmidim. Some say that Ben Azai, just like the ones who preceded him, also did not announce it publicly. He too whispered it to his Talmidim. But there's a machlokes. So chad toni shana, v'chad toni lochasha. So what is the discussion about? Why would he whisper it? Why would he review it? I'm sorry about this. So why does one opinion say that he whispered it and another opinion said that he learned it? So the Gemara says as follows. Chad toni shono v'chad toni lochasho. Man, the toni shono, the one who announced it loud and clear and said that what? That it's not necessary to go into a mikveh, tisho kabin will do the trick. Mishum bitul toiro, umishum bitul pirio berivyo. Meaning, Rashi explains, look at mishum bitul pirio berivyo, shohoyu nimnoim, because his Talmidim were refraining mitashmish, from having relations with their wives, mipnei toirach hatvila, from the great tircha of tvila. In other words, there were those who clearly were being makbid on tvila, both for the purpose of Torah and also having had relations with their wives. Now, what was this causing? This was causing, therefore, because it was a big tircha to go and find a kosher mikvah. So his Talmidim, this was causing, firstly, bittul Torah, because once they became Tomei, they held, you cannot go and learn Torah until they find a kosher mikvah. And until then, they didn't learn. That was one problem. Another problem which preceded it was they tried to avoid becoming Tomei in the first place. In other words, they didn't have relations with their wives in order to have to avoid this whole balagan of finding a mikvah. So that's why Ben Azai said, according to this Girsa, Shona. What does Shona mean? He learned it with the Talmidim loud and clear. He didn't whisper it. He told them emphatically, in no uncertain terms, you're doing the wrong thing. If you want to be Machmir, you can rely on Tisho Kabin. Ah, Tisho Kabin is not a Torah. It's far easier, obviously, to come by Tisho Kabin than it is a fully blown kosher mikvah. So therefore, there's no need to have to refrain from having relations, because even if they become a Tumas Keri, but they could just pour over themselves Tisho Kabin. And in turn, therefore, this would not create Bittul Torah. So according to the version of events that said, Shana, he announced it loud and clear. Why did he announce it loud and clear? To solve these two problems of Bittul Torah and Bittul Pirei Berivyo. However, says the Gemara, there's the alternative version. Umand Toni Lochasha. But according to the opinion that said he whispered it, what does it mean he whispered it? If he whispered it, he means he wasn't announcing it emphatically as if to say it's a chiyuv. We just said it quietly. What he was really saying was, Shaloi yu talmidei chachomim mitsuyim eitzel nesheisehem ketar negoilim. The one who said that he whispered it means that actually he was quite happy that his Talmidim were not having relations on a regular basis with their wives. Why? Because he didn't seem it appropriate. He didn't deem it appropriate for Talmidei Chachamim to be together with their wives on such a frequent basis. Therefore, even though it's true, you can't deny it, there definitely does exist the precedent of Tisho Kabin, but he only whispered it. Why did he whisper it? He didn't want to announce it loudly. He was more than happy for the Talmidim to think that you need a full-blown mikvah. Why was he happy for them to think that? As the Gemara says, he didn't want his Talmidim, who were Talmidei Chachamim, to be Mitsuyim Eitzel Nesheiseim, together with their wives, Ketaran Goylim, like chickens. Chazal HaKadoshim tell us that chickens are with their wives on a regular basis, and this was deemed inappropriate for Talmidei Chachamim. So again, according to version number one, to the contrary, he made a point of announcing it emphatically. I want everybody to know the halacha of Tisho Kabin. It's causing bittul Torah, etc., etc. According to version two, to the contrary, he said it only very quietly. He couldn't delete or deny the halacha, but he only said it quietly because he was very happy for his Talmidim to be makpid on a mikvah, full-blown mikvah, memsah, and that would mean there will be a suitable chumrah for Talmidei Chachamim in the halachas of Tznius. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Bez Hashem will continue.
For Shlema.